for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, February the 21st, 2004. Ladies' conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Alberta Landry of Beaumont, Texas, as they minister on this.
Praise the Lord. Giving honor to God this morning, knowing that He is my Lord and knowing that He is my God. You know, there are some that don't know that He's Lord this morning. There are some that have not declared Him as their God this morning. But we have been able and given a privilege to declare Him the awesome, the most powerful, the most glorious God there is in all the universe. He's ours. Isn't that... That's enough to blow you out the room. Glory to God, just to think that He thought enough of us to say, I want you to be my children. I want you to be heirs and joint heirs with my only begotten Son. That's an awesome thing to even think about. Our minds cannot conceive how awesome our God really is. We know in part, but as we know more, we should grow more. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. What is worship? Glory to God. I didn't really want to come to preach. I want to teach this morning. Is that all right? Praise the Lord God. Because, see, our life is supposed to be a life of worship. Amen? The first scripture that I do want to go to, and it's a familiar scripture to everybody, and that's John, the 4th chapter, the 23rd verse. And the Bible says, but the hour cometh, and now is. Say with me, it's now. When the true worshipers, what is true? God's word is true. When the true worshipers, the word worshipers, those that know the word and know that they've been set free by the word can worship God. The true worshipers shall worship. That means it's no, I think I'm going to try to worship God this morning. No. The true worshipers shall. It's a liberty. It's a freedom. It's a feeling of awe where you can't help yourself. You just can't help yourself. When it's in you, it's like it's in you. It's got to come out of you. You know, we hear about Jeremiah and how the word was fired shut up in his bones, and he said, I just can't keep it to myself. Glory to God. That's how we are to worship God. We can't keep it to ourselves. But the worship of the Lord should go back unto the Lord. Glory to God. He says, the hour is cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father. In what? And in truth. Amen. Now I looked up a few things, praise God. And I found that the worship, the way we look at worship is the English word today. It contains the idea of giving honor and giving worth. It's considered worship. So we look at worship as our word has said, we're giving Him honor and we're giving Him the worth that's so due to who He is. Because He is worthy. We say it all the time. He is worthy of all our praise. Amen. But then I went on and I looked up the word worship, and it means to honor, to respect, to reverence. And what is reverence? A reverence is a feeling or an attitude of deep respect, deep love, deep awe, deep sacredness, to bow down, to curtsy. Glory to God. To admire, to revere is worship. To give awe and give adoration is worship. To pay homage. What is homage? Anything that is done are given to show reverence unto the one that you say you love. To honor Him and to respect Him. To respect. And when I looked at that, I said, God, I never thought about how we need to respect God. We're taught to respect each other. Amen? We're taught to respect our mothers and we're taught to respect our fathers. I was taught to respect my elders when I was a little girl. You better respect your elders or you're going to get a whipping from Granny. But I was taught to respect my elders. And yet, I never heard that I can remember someone saying, you need to respect God. I remember when I was growing up, used to see a pastor or a minister walking down the street. People would get to the side and show respect unto that man of God. And now, I mean, it's like at the door. But do we respect God in our worship? When we're glorifying Him and magnifying Him, are we giving Him our full attention? Are we worshiping Him with everything that we are and everything that we can be? Are we worshiping Him? Are we paying back to Him what's due Him? We talk about paying our tithe and giving our offering, but are we giving Him what He really wants and what He made us to be? And that's a worshiper. Glory to God. To worship means extreme devotion or intense love or admiration of any kind. So this we know, that when we worship God, we know now that, if we didn't even know it before, now we know that we are honoring Him and we are saying, Lord, You are worship. You're worth the worship that we give. Glory to God. Hallelujah to His holy name. So when we worship God, we are recognizing that He is indispensable, that we need Him, that we need Him. We live and we breathe and we have our being. We need Him. Glory to God. Yeah, I hear people say sometimes God needs us. I kind of beg to differ, because Jesus even said when they were hiding, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And the priest said, shut them up. Tell them children to be quiet. And He says, if they don't cry out, the rock will cry out. The Word of God tells me that the trees clap their hands unto the Lord that we serve. We need the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is. That means I don't have to wait till tomorrow to glorify Him. The hour is now. It's right now. Say right now. I'm going to worship Him. See, and what we need to learn is that worship is not just singing. It's not just a slow song, getting in the mood, tantalizing the flesh. Come on, saints of God. No, worship is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying don't sing. Don't take Sister Bert wrong. I'm saying that it's not just that. It's time to worship. No, when you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to be a worshiper. When you go to bed at night, you're supposed to be a worshiper. When you're on your job, you're supposed to be a worshiper. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, it's real. It's right. And I love it. Glory to God. Worship is a lifestyle. I heard my sister talk about an attitude. It's an attitude. Oh, I worship if I feel like it. Well, I'm not going to sing today. I'm not going to lift my hands. I'm not going to talk to Him. I'm not. And even if we don't feel like it, He still says, give forth a sacrifice of praise. In other words, get beyond yourself. Self gets in the way of being a true worshiper. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons that I believe that we sometimes can't enter in is because of the fight that we're having in the flesh with the enemy. Because the enemy is out to stop the praise of God. He's out to destroy the worship of the Lord because he wants to heap it upon himself. So now listen at this. If he can stop you, guess what he just did? Hello. If he can stop you from glorifying the God that you say we serve, then he just got the worship. I'm going to say this real fast, and I'm going to go back to my word here, to the word. I remember one time we were coming up here, and it was during one of the deliverance camp meetings, October 31st. It was part of the days that we were up here, which we called that. And we were riding the car, and I was just meditating on the Lord, muttering to myself, glory to God. And I enjoyed your word. I had that word. It was a good, powerful word last night. And all of a sudden, I heard in the spirit, He says, hallowed be thy name. And of course, we know that's part of the prayer, the model prayer that Jesus gave to the disciples.
And I said, okay, hallowed be your name. And I heard it again. And he said, so why say Halloween? Because there's only one that's supposed to be hallowed. And that's the God that we say we serve. And I said, oh Lord, from now on it's just October the 31st. Another day to worship our God. Another day to glorify our God. Amen? So that's just a little nugget. I like to give a little nugget. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. You are worthy. Revelation 4:11. And I have a lot of scripture. Praise God. So if you can't write fast, buy the tape. Amen. Revelation 4:11. I'm going to just go with verse 11 right now. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, and thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. For God's pleasure we were and we were created. Glory to God. So all things were created to give him praise. All things, even Satan, was created to give God glory. But what did he do? He let pride and exaltation of himself cause him to fall from the grace and the face of God. Do you know he was in God's face? And he allowed pride and self-exaltation to cause him to fall from the face and the grace of God. When we can't get beside and away from ourselves to glorify the Lord and Almighty God that we say we serve, and we can't walk into worshiping him and praising him and awing him and glorifying him, we are self-exalting ourselves above the God that we serve, and we will fall from the grace and the face of God. Have you ever asked that? Go, well, I just don't feel like I'm getting your presence. I don't understand what's going on. Get out of self. See, we can't go into the throne room. Flesh will not stand. Pray. That's why he said worship him in spirit. The true person that you are. This outer man is not who you are. The true man is on the inside. Housed by this outside. See, we just use these hands. We just use these feet. Glory to God. We just use these lips. But the true man is saying, Lord, I worship you. I glorify you. I scream out the glory of your holy name. Hallelujah. You know, think about this. Where does the voice come from? From the outside? From the inside. Okay. Praise God. True worship not only recognizes his worthiness, but it also rejoices in his worthiness. Hallelujah. The psalmist, I can go through all kinds of songs, but in Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice means to have joy. But it says to have joy in the Lord. Not in what I got yesterday. Oh, man, I got me a brand new Escalade yesterday. No, I didn't. I'm just paraphrasing here. But I will speak those things that be not as though they are. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we'll rejoice in things that we get. We'll get happy, especially ladies, you know, give me a diamond, man, you got a smile this big. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. And we will get so happy and get so joyful in receiving those things. And yet we have to press and to struggle to get into glorifying Jesus. Oh, but he's my Lord. Oh, I love him. Forgive us, Lord. Amen. Praise God. The Hebrew word used most often in reference to worship means to bow down, to do homage. Genesis 18:2. Some scripture I'm just going to give you, and you can just write it down, but some we're going to go to. In Genesis, the 18th chapter, the 2nd verse, to pay homage, to bow down. Glory to God. I'm going to start with the first verse. 18th chapter of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 1 and verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. And he bowed himself toward the ground. And then verse 3 says, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. When he looked, he lifted up his eyes. In Psalms, praise God, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made this heaven and the earth. I will lift up mine eyes. I used to tell people, sometimes they come up for prayer, and I say, you know what? I said, just lift your head. As far back as you can get it. Just lift your head. Just look up and you know, close your eyes, because all you're gonna see in the flesh is the ceiling. But close your eyes and visualize that you see the Lord high and lifted up. Glory to God. And then if you can't close your eyes, you know, because sometimes we get a little skittish at closing our eyes, but just keep looking up and then wonder, what do I see below here? Nothing. Because my head is so high and lifted up that all I can see is the Lord. Praise the Lord God. So he lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw them coming. And he ran to meet him. He didn't wait till they came to the door and say, can we come into your tent today? He ran to meet them. How many times are we running into the arms of the Lord? And he bowed himself down in reverence, in awe, and in worship. Because to bow, to curtsy, also means to revere, and also means to worship. And he says, if I find favor, come and be with me in my house. Have we invited him into our home just through worshiping him? He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. Have we invited him in? I remember one morning, I was in the house and it hit me strong. I don't know if anybody missed, you know, you praise God and all, you know, but I mean, it was like, walk through your whole house. And it's like, everywhere my feet tread, I'm going to possess this land. Oh, glory to God. I opened every door. I turned on every light. I said, oh, no. Well, praise God. It says, where the light comes, the darkness got to dispel. The darkness got to flee. Praise God. And I walked through the house, but I didn't say, okay, enemy, get out of my house. I just was glorifying the Lord and giving him honor and praising him for who he is. He's sovereign this morning. He's sovereign, glory to God. And I started declaring, the Lord God reigns in my house. 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 And I could feel the very foundations of hell shaking because the Lord God reigns in my house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Getting radical in your worship. Getting crazy with your praise. Being a fool for Jesus. We want to look good. Like we said, pride died and laid to the side. We want to look good. But sometimes we need to get ugly for Jesus. He got ugly for us. He took our ugliness so that we could look pretty. Come on, saints of God. Hallelujah. Have you declared that the Lord reigns in your house to the top of your voice? Have you cried out and spared not in your own house? I'm telling you, because it's like, you ever heard someone say, you know, just repeat these, and you know, after a while, you might believe it. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at Sister Birdie like she's crazy. Y'all know what I'm saying. Have anybody ever getting some scripture to say, just repeat these, and you know, just keep on saying it, and eventually you'll believe it, and they're giving you the word? Well, I know I've been guilty, but I should believe the word when I'm declaring it, not after I've had to repeat it and repeat it. And repeat it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The word in the Greek, worship, the term for worship conveys the idea of showing reverence or bowing down to God. Just like we said in John 4:21-24, where he even told the woman, he says, you worship, you don't know what you worship. She said, we've been coming to this hill, and this is where we've been worshiping all the time. He says, you don't even know what you're worshiping. He said, but the time cometh and now is. Hallelujah. The second Greek word, second Greek meaning of worship also means to serve and to minister. Go with me to Matthew, the fourth chapter of Matthew. Matthew 4. You deserve the glory. and the honor. 4 and 10. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. For you are, yes, he is. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. Yes, praise you, Jesus. There is no one else like you. Like you. There is no one else. Yes. Matthew 4, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, who him? Satan. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And verse 11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels, who glory, came and ministered unto Jesus. Jesus said, devil, listen to this. I got something I need to tell you right now. Hallelujah. Get behind me. Because I know who I'm supposed to worship. Glory to God. See, the enemy knows when you know that you know that you know. Oh, yes, he does. He can tell it by your actions. He can tell it by your, that's why I'm telling you, worship is a lifestyle. He can tell it by your actions. He can tell it by your words. But if you open not your mouth and you keep praising God and glorifying God and going on about worshiping him in everything that you do, just like when I said on your jobs, we're supposed to worship God. Why? Because we're supposed to be the best employees that are ever on anybody's job. And we're showing forth worship unto him. When I love my brothers and I love my sisters, glory to God, the way I'm supposed to love them in the reverential love of God, I'm showing forth worship unto my God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, hey, when I honor my husband, I show worship unto my God. And sometimes I got to repent. Amen. I'm real here. I'm not here to be false. I'm not here to be fake Jacob. I'm being real. With God and with man. I don't have time to play games. See, I'm in my 50s. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I, you know what? I'm not going anywhere till my work has been finished. Bless the name of Jesus. I don't know when it is, and I don't even care. All I know is I'm not going anywhere till I have finished what God has assigned for me to do. Hallelujah. Whether it be 50, 60, well, they're not going to be 50, praise the name of Jesus. Whenever it is, and I'm not going to be worried about it or consumed by the age. But what I'm telling you is, it has to be an idea and an attitude of knowing that you serve God. That you serve God. And when we serve one another, when I honor you, my sister, I'm serving God. When I give you a hug and say, ooh, I love you, I love you, ooh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'm honoring my God. Glory to God. He said, whatever I do in word or in deed, I'm supposed to do it in the name of the Lord. Whatever's assigned unto my hands to do, I'm to do it in the name of the Lord. When I do it in the name of the Lord, I am worshiping him. When I love my children, when I chastise my children, I'm glorifying my God. When I teach them how to love God and admonish them unto the Lord, I am worshiping my God. So we attribute some things to other stuff. But when you are doing what God loves and what God loves and what God hates, guess what? You're worshiping the Lord. See, we've been indoctrinated to believe that worship is just singing a song. We've been taught that. We've been brainwashed to believe that. And even to the fact that we've been brainwashed to believe it's a slow song. It's real. And I could take you through the Word of God, and I'm not here to give you every scripture pertaining to worship and how to praise God. I'm not here to give you that. Because we're all supposed to study ourselves approved. Because when I started counting and going over different scriptures, man, I stopped counting. Because we are supposed to be true worshipers. And we're supposed to be true worshipers of the Lord. I love, but I'm not to worship man. I'm to worship God. I do for man, and in that I worship God. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It's an attitude. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bless God. So it involves our attitude and my actions. My attitude and my actions. See, the world says get a new attitude. I'm here to tell you, we're supposed to have a good attitude. A heart of worship. A heart of worship. Out of the issues of the heart. The heart. The heart. A heart of worship. A heart of prayer. A heart of praise. See, you can't separate these things. We want to put praise on one side of the room, prayer in the middle, and worship over here. But how do we separate it? When it all is supposed to be involved and giving Him glory. Oh, bless His name this morning. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We're supposed to adore Him. We're supposed to humble ourselves and do loving, willing service unto the Lord because God is worthy. I'm supposed to want to serve Him. Some people don't want to be a doorkeeper. Doorkeeper. I can't. I'm supposed to be in the front. Come on, saints of God. You can keep. Hey, come on. The door is the gate. Come on. Now it's an honor to stand at the door. Glory to God. See, we want to exalt ourselves above measure. And God is saying those that exalt themselves will be obeyed. Come on now. We got to come to an humbleness before God and say, God, I'm here to serve. What do you want me to do? You want me to wash some dishes? I'll scrub some toilets. What you want me to do, God? Yeah, I'll be in there scrubbing. Hey, glory. Magnify the Lord. Magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Not murmuring, not complaining, but service, humbling ourselves in submission to what God wants us to do. He said, because I will exalt you in due season. Come on now. Don't you want your due season? Oh, my God. My God, my God. Worship is not to be offered in spirit or in truth, but in spirit and in truth. Some of us have been lying to God. Oh, come on. Yeah. I'm not going to go there. Praise God. Praise God. But in spirit and in truth. What is truth? Thy word. Thy word is truth, oh God. Do I honor God with His word? Do I give Him back what He's given unto me? You want some answers? Give Him His word. You want the angels to move? Give Him His word. Hallelujah. Because He honors His word. He honors His word. He said, I honor my word above my name. He honors His word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Worship is not just a matter of words, like I said, or just singing, but it is a lifestyle. Oh, being sincere and honest. You know, some people don't want you to be honest with them. They want you to lie. The Word of God says that they want to hear a lie. And even the Lord says there's going to come a time when they want that lie so bad He's going to give them over to strong delusion. But we're to be sincere and honest and loving and true, letting it come forth from our hearts. God is, you know, I understand, you know, giving forth a sacrifice of praise. That's fine. That's cool. And all that's good. But God is looking for a pure praise, a pure worship, a heart that desires to do this for Him. Even if something hinders you, you still got a desire in your heart because God knows your heart. Glory to God. And He can take you beyond just your desire into the fullness of it. Glory to God. He wants that from us. In Romans, the 12th chapter, praise God, verse 9. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to love the things that God loves and hate those things that God hates. Amen? But praise God, He says that our love is supposed to be without dissimulation. That means it's not supposed to be hypocritical or false. We came for some deliverance this weekend. Amen? 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans, the 12th chapter. Let me get there too. Glory to God. Let love be without dissimulation, not hypocritical, not in hypocrisy. We're to cleave us to the things that God loves. We're supposed to glue ourselves to the love of God. Hallelujah. Because if I can't love my man, fellow man, I can't say I really love God. I can take you to that scripture. So I have to love even my enemy, even my enemy. I'm supposed to love them with the love of God. Some people don't understand when you love them like that. But does that really matter? But we take offense because they don't We let our little feelings get hurt. And we open the door to the enemy. And we just let him have havoc on our heads and over our bodies and even sometimes over our spirit, because a wounded spirit, who can bear? Glory to God, when the spirit of the man is supposed to sustain you. But we allow ourselves, I live, you know, like the chip on the shoulder thing. Knock it off. You know what I'm saying? And we allow it to be knocked off by words and actions, and it steals our praise. God is personal, saints of God. We need to get personal with God. He's eternal. He's the Almighty Spirit. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. He's sovereign, unchanging. He's good, righteous, and just, truthful, holy, and He is faith. He's our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior, and our Judge. I ought to say, you know, when I was raised up off my deathbed, when I couldn't speak, but the Lord could hear my words. And when I cried out unto the Lord from my spirit, He heard me and He delivered me. So I know that He can hear your heart's cry. I tell people, you know, before it even comes from your lips, it's got to come out your heart. So we need a heart worship. We need to want to worship Him and glorify Him, awe Him, reverence Him, humble Him, pay Him homage. We need to respect Him. Respect Him. We will use our bodies for things that we shouldn't use our bodies for. We're disrespecting the one that owns this body. We will use our lips to say things that we should not say. We are using and defiling that we have said, I've given unto the Lord, because this is His body. This is His tabernacle. The old tabernacles, I mean, they may be rebuilding it in Israel, but that's not where He's dwelling. He's not going back to the temple that man made by hands. We say we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're the ones He abide in. We are His ark. The Shekinah glory of God wants to come in here. Glory to God. So when we defile the temple, we taint our worship. We put stains on our worship. Because we're the ones that have to worship Him. When I'm at home by myself, and even my husband's not there, I still have to worship God. I don't need to come to a crowd of people to praise Him. My neighbors might think, so, well, what's going over there at Landry House? They should. Go ahead, disturb the peace. Come on, of the enemy. Come on now. Jesus is our example, amen? He is our example of a true worship of God. I'm going to give you some scripture and I'm going to keep reading. Praise God. Jesus knew His Father in a very personal way. Write down John 8:29. He praised and He gave thanks to His Father, even when He blessed the food. Glory to God. He says, I'm lifting this up to the Lord, and I'm thanking You, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So why do we pray over our food? Because we need to say thank You, Lord, for daily bread. Amen? Praise God. So He praised and He gave thanks to His Father. John 11:41. He loved and He honored His Father. He loved and He honored His Father. John 8:49. He prayed too, and He lived in total dependency upon His Father. Matthew 14:23. He did not seek to do His own will, but He sought to do the will of His Father. Say that one again. He did not seek to do His own will, but He sought to do the will of His Father. John 5:30. He was completely humble and He was completely obedient to the will of His Father. And I'm going to stress that one. He was completely, completely obedient, completely humble to the will of His Father. Philippians 2:8. He lived to be the glory and lived to get the glory of His Father. Amen? Praise God. Go with me to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 10:20, the Word of God says, 10:20, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, Him shalt thou serve, and to Him shalt thou cleave. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord God. To Him shalt thou cleave and swear by His name. Verse 21, He is thy praise, and He is thy God. He is your praise, and He is your God. Hallelujah. He is thy praise,
and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Have you seen God do something for you? Will we still want to see more? Yes. But have you already seen him do great and mighty and terrible things on your behalf? We need to worship him. See, we can worship him for things that he's done. We can glorify him for things that he's doing. And we can magnify him for things yet to come. Come on now. He said, I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for his people. Come on. And I'm going to tell you, God says all good things come forth from the Father of light. So God's got some good stuff coming. Good stuff coming. Glory to God. Now, I can't receive what I don't believe. See, the man that was at the gate, beautiful, he was there waiting in expectation. And he received and he believed that when they said, look upon us. Oh, I'm fixing to get something. He may not have known what, but he knew he was fixing to get something. And he got more than he expected to get. Come on, glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be where? Be where? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof, and they're going to get glad just by hearing me boast about the Lord, my God. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let us, allow us, to exalt his name together. Allow us to exalt his name together. Hallelujah. High and lifted up. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I sought the Lord. And guess what? He went into this. He said, oh, come on, magnify him with me. Exalt him with me. And then I sought the Lord. And guess what? He heard me. But I magnified him first. I glorified him first. Ha! Huh. I blessed him first. And he heard me. And what did he do after he heard him? That's powerful. That's powerful. You mean if I seek God, if I magnify him and glorify him and get on in there, and then I cry out to the Lord, he'll hear me and he'll deliver me? Say yes again. Yes. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Glory to his name. Go over one more. And I could go through a bunch of scriptures, but go over 47. 47. Psalms. Amen. Praise God. We said that this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is what? Woo! And guess what? The devil knows how terrible he is. We need to understand how terrible he is. Oh, Jesus. My God, my God. He is great. He's a great king. And he's my king. Say he's my king. Over all the earth. Guess what he's gonna, he will subdue, and I'm gonna put here, the enemy under us and the nations of the enemy under our feet. Hallelujah. Psalms 95. Go to Psalms 95. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with songs. For the Lord is a what God?
Great God.
He's a great God and a great king where?
Above all gods.
Glory to God. And guess what? He's our God. Say he's my God.
My God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Praise you, Lord God. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is whose God?
Our God.
Says my God.
Our God.
Says our God.
Our God.
Huh. Glory to God. For he is our God, and we are the what?
The people.
Of his pasture. Glory to God. And the sheep of his, at his right hand, there are pleasures. You want some pleasures, sister? There are pleasures evermore. Whoops, they're going to shoot. This is holy ground. Praise God. Today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart.
Don't harden your heart. If you hear it today, don't harden your heart like the fathers did of old in the day of provocation. Do not harden your heart. See, the enemy tempted the fathers of old, and they failed. And then they got back up. God would bless them, they'd get back up. And they would fall. And God would bless them, they'd get back up. And they would fall. And God would bless them, they'd get back up. Why do we have to be blessed before we can get up? Just stand up. Stand flat-footed, firm, and unmovable. Psalms 1 said, blessed, happy is the man that standeth not in the counsel. Come on now. Flat-footed, firm, unmovable. Be like the tree planted by the river. Get your source. Where's your source? Where's your source? Where's the source of your joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Where's the source of your exaltation in God? He said he'll exalt you in due season. It's in him. You want to be exalted? Are y'all? I know y'all with me. I ain't going to ask y'all if y'all with me. Y'all with me. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Okay, let me get back over here. I knew I should have got that hand mic so I could stand still. Praise God. 96 songs. 96 songs says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. You know, God will give you melody in your heart. Praise God. When God gives, let me give y'all a word of advice. When God gives you a song, even while you're laying your head on your bed, get up, write the song down. Because God has just given you melody in your heart. He's given you a song that he hasn't given anybody else. Guess what? That song's for you. He's ministering to you. He's trying to draw you into his presence by giving you a song and a melody to make joy and happy in your heart. Glory to God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation, his deliverance from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. For the Lord is, and what? Greatly to be praised. He is to be feared where? All those other gods do fear our God. We need to understand that and know that. Glory to God. And I like it how it goes into declaring it and magnifying it and saying how great he is and then telling us, guess what? He's the greatest God there is of all of the gods, and the gods know that. You know, the devil knows these things, and when a saint of God is packed in power walking with it, then he trembles at it because he knows the word. Psalms 118. Amen. Y'all still with me? Psalms 118. I'm just going to read verse 15. The whole chapter is good, but I'm going to read verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is where? The tabernacle of the righteous. Point to yourself. Say, I'm to be the tabernacle of righteousness. Amen. Praise God. So the voice of rejoicing of salvation should be in me. It should be in me. Amen. The right hand of the Lord. Oh, we're going back to that right hand again. It's something about that right hand. Hallelujah. I think that's why Jesus stands at the right hand. Come on now. Praise God. The right hand of the Lord doeth what? That means he'll also fight for you. Praise God. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Glory to God. It says, Psalms 144 says that I will do what? That I'm supposed to always have in my hand what? High praise in my mouth and a two-edged sword in my hand. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Worship, to bow down, to prostrate yourself, to do obeisance, to honor, to reverence, to pay homage, to acknowledge his divine perfection. Patriarchs of old, praise God, built altars and they did sacrifices unto the Lord. Genesis 12, 7 and 8, 13 and 4. Glory to God. David organized. I searched down some history about the praisers and the worshipers of old. David organized the sacred Levitical choir in 1 Chronicles 6, 31 and 32. And it's another backup scripture, 2 Chronicles 29, 25, and 28. Praise God. David organized the Levitical choir, the worshipers, the praisers. And he pulled out of 30,000, 4,000 to do worship. Just to do worship. That's all they were to do.
Nothing else. There were the master musicians, and there were those that were being taught, and there were those that already knew what to do. And then there were those that they were going to be taught what to do, but they had the skill to do it. All right? So out of the 32,000, actually, if you count them up, out of the 32,000, he pulled out 4,000 just to praise God. Now, that's a choir. Glory to God. That's a choir. And that was their, we call it job. But that was their service. That was their homage unto the Lord. Glory to God. David, let's go here, because we know this one about how David danced before the ark, right? Inside. And guess what happened while he was dancing in there? And you know, I'm going to go into that a little bit more. But praise God, his wife was standing there, and it made the enemy mad, because he was praising like a wild man. I can't believe he out there making a fool of himself like this. They said that about us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be exceedingly glad that they did. Praise God. But in 1 Chronicles, if you want to read this, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, praise God. And it, you can go all through the chapter. I stressed out 16 verse, 28th and 29th verse. Praise God. In Exodus 15, praise God. And I mean, it's always so many all through the scriptures. Whew. Even when Solomon built the temple, and he numbered out those that were going to be praisers and worshipers. He pulled out 2,000, and that was their job. They even got paid. Oh, it's in the Word. They even got paid. And they were given homes to stay in. Oh, y'all didn't know that. Y'all looking at me like, what? Solomon pulled them out. He said, guess what? I'm going to give you your place. Because all we want you to do, we don't want you to do nothing else but just praise the Lord 24/7. All day. They were numbered 24/7. Just constant praise, constant worship, constant glorification of God. And get paid for it too. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. But just think about that. You know, I know we wish at times that I didn't have a job, I didn't have to do all this, and didn't have to do nothing of that. All I could do is just lay on my face before God. We know we can't do this in this natural. But I'm here to tell you, when you walk, you can still be praising Him. When you're talking, you can still be praising Him. Y'all see what I'm saying? Because it becomes so much a part of me that no matter what, you know, I have to catch myself sometimes, because I remember I've heard people tell me, well, you always say praise the Lord. And I don't even think about it. But what's in me will come out of me. What's in you will come out of you. So from this day forward, don't say, I don't feel like doing it. Oh, I threw that one in there. I don't feel like praising the Lord this morning. I don't want to sing that song. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Service. Worshiping Him. Humbling ourselves before Him. To do whatever is assigned unto our hands to do. Is to worship Him. All through the Psalms, we see how David, he was called a skillful musician, a master musician. When Saul was vexed by an evil spirit, they said, there's one Jesse, and he has a son named David, and he's skilled on the harp. Shall we go get him, Saul? Go get him, go get him, go get him, go get him. Because the devil was whipping him. The devil was tormenting him. And they went and got David, young boy. And he played. And I can just imagine him sitting there. Well, I'm not playing unto Saul. I'm playing unto God. And I'm making melody unto the Lord. And the Word of God says that the evil spirit departed from Saul. And Saul was so impressed. He said, oh, wait a minute. I want you in my house. You got to be here with me all the time. What do you want me to give you? Come be with me. So praise can make the enemy leave, even if it's just for a moment. But when we get into the lifestyle of worship, go with me to James real fast. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. See, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to get close to God. You know, we quote scripture and we say these things a lot. Excuse me. Go to James, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start from the first verse, but I'm going to the main verses further down. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust? that war in your members? Question mark. You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain it. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask not and you receive not because you ask amiss. You ask wrong. You ask in the wrong manner. Sometimes we do ask just to heap it upon our flesh, that we may consume it upon your lust. Then God goes into being called sometimes adulterous. Why? Because it's spiritual adultery. He says, you adulterous and adulterous, know you not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God, is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? We were yet once enemies of God. Are we still walking in that, in the old man of the enemy of God, or have we become servants and friends with God? We can't worship God as an enemy of his. We can't give him praise as his enemy, but we sure can do it as his friend and as his servant, as his children. So we need to come off the dark side. That's why I say we need to stop asking him for stuff. And I'm fixing to go here. Sometimes, you know what? You can get a healing and not ask for a healing. Anybody in here ever got a healing and didn't ask for it? Amen. Raise your hand up high. We see we got a cloud of witnesses here. Glory to God. We ask God to move on situations, and then we might, why do we ask God for certain things? Sometimes we need to search our own hearts and say, Lord, why am I even asking for this to happen? Am I asking for my children to be saved because I want them to do what I want them to do? Or am I asking them to be saved because I want them to serve God? I want them to obey me, I want them to obey God. Because if they obey God, they're going to obey me. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? He says we have not and we do not obtain what we're asking for sometimes because we're asking God for the wrong thing. Come on, saints of God. Who? Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble is not something that you do, it's something that you are. My God, my God. Hallelujah. Submit. See, you want to say, oh, resist the devil got to flee. But no, that's something that comes before that. Submit to who? To who?
God.
Say it loud.
God.
Amen. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Then resist the devil. Stand fast against him. My God. And I'm telling you, if God didn't know we could do it, he wouldn't have put it in his word. We are able. We are more than able. Because we made more than conquerors. Am I right, sister? Praise God. God says we are the ones that are victorious. That means we can overcome. The devil does not have to overwhelm you or overcome you. You're supposed to overcome him. If he comes at you, overcome him. God resisted the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will what? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. I know this and I know this, but I don't know nothing else. I'm going to worship the Lord my God and him only will I serve. Do you know that before he got there that the devil tried to make him bow down to him by giving him stuff, offering him stuff? He went at his flesh because his flesh was hungered and he offered him stuff, something to fill the body up. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Draw nigh to God. Come on, get close to God. Draw near to God. And he will get close. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. God does not want us to be double-minded. Oh, I guess God will. I guess he won't. I guess he will. I guess he won't. I don't know why he will. I don't know why he won't. I don't know why he said a double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. I know he will answer me. I know he loves me. I'm not getting to know this. We're supposed to know this. Because when I know it, that means I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm not wondering if God loves me. I know he loves me. Do you know he loves you? Do you know he loves you? He loves you with an undying love. He loves you all the way into eternity. He loved you when we were in our sins, he still loved us. Today in our services of today, we call worship is we go to the church building, and it's all biblical, it's in the scriptures, but we go to the church building. Sometimes after we didn't cuss and fuss and everything else, we go to the church building.
And we do homage unto the Lord by, you know, we have our song service, and that's good. It's all scripture. We do, we have the word. It's all scripture. Amen? Amen. Someone sometimes stands up and he reads the word, and that's all scripture. We pray, that's all scripture. We give our offering, that's all scripture. If someone needs to be baptized, we baptize them, that's all scripture. Sometimes we do the Lord's Supper, that's all scripture. But then what? What happens after that? We hug everybody, we go eat, then we go home, and we wait till the next time that we can go worship God. You know, worship should begin from the time my head leaves the bed. And I put on my clothes, and I brush my teeth, and I comb my hair. The worship should be going on. Glory to God. And after we've gone through the service of us gathering together, glory to God, and had a wonderful time in the Lord, and did all the service in this house of the Lord, then this house of the Lord has to go back and continue in the worship. And continue in the homage unto the Lord. You know, the scripture by Cornelius and how he gave. When the sister gave that last night, I said, man, that's a powerful scripture. Because he gave alms and charity to others. He was worshiping God. He was worshiping, and God honored that. He honored that. We want God to see our bottles of tears all around. We want that. But we want our prayers that are also placed around there answered. We want our giving to come up as a memorial before God. It's all a part of our worship. Then what? When Joshua and the saints of God were going to fight the battle of Jericho. Very familiar scripture. Amen. Joshua the 6th chapter. Glory to God. God didn't say, get all your weapons together. You're just going to go in and you're going to win this battle. You're going to tear down. He says, no, I got a better plan. And they had to march. They had to march. How many times? One time? How many? They had to march around the wall. I could just imagine with me. Just imagine with me. Y'all could come and imagine a little bit. Just imagine with me. Can you imagine the enemy on the inside looking out? Don't say anything. Don't say anything. How many times? And I can imagine every time they walked around the wall, the enemy's knees doing this. I don't know. Y'all can't see my knees. Every time they walked around the wall, something else happened. Something else shook. Every time they walked around the wall, something else shook. And they got a little bit of, oh man, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. God said he put it your own end in duration. What's going on? What's going on? What are they doing? What are they doing out there? But he said, look, the last thing. He said to do what? I heard someone say it. Now picture this. He's standing there. And see, the word of God says that the priest was there. The singers were there. The word was there. The warriors were there. But he said, go around 7 times, don't say nothing until the last one. See, God has a strategy with your prayer. And he said, shout!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Amen!
Hallelujah!
And what happened? And they shouted in, and I'm going to give you this, unison, unity, one voice, one powerful voice of praise, and the wall fell flat, and they walked over, and they took the spoil of the enemy. Come on, saints of God, hallelujah, because of their what? Obedience and their praise. And the walls came tumbling down. Glory to God. Where am I? All right, praise God. I still got time. Praise God. All right. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. Go with me to Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah, 8th chapter. Glory to God. In Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, I'm going to start with the first verse. It says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel.
And Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. Upon the first day of the seventh month. I did a teaching about the number seven, and I tell you, it's a powerful study about how God uses, how He works and moves in the number seven. I'm still hearing pages. I'm kind of waiting. Glory to God. And verse 3 says, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate. He read from the morning until the midday before the men and the women. And those that could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That means they paid very close attention to the words that Ezra read from the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. It was like a box or a platform, which they had made for the purpose. And the purpose was so that everybody could see him reading the word. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Masariah, and on his right hand and on his left, Padiah, Pediah, and Meshiah, and Malchiah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, what I want to say before I go further, because I want to read the rest of this. He said, the word of God began, he says, when he went in and he brought the people came together as one man. Unity works. Unity works. Unity and obedience works. It works. See, the Bible wants the body of Christ to be unified. The body has been so divided. You know, I mean, I was going to say, you know, Jesus said a divided house will stand. You know, and the body of Christ has been so divided. You know, it doesn't matter what caused the division. So many different things have caused the division. But the people, God's word should bring us to be on one accord. So they came together as one man. And as he read, and he opened the book so that the people could see. He stood upon the pulpit so that people could see. And he opened the book. And all the people stood up, praise God, from the reading of the word. And Ezra blessed the people. Oh, did I miss something? Oh, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen. See, when we bless the Lord, the people should say, amen. That's one accord, one accord. The word of God says on the day of Pentecost, when they were on one accord. See, when they went in, they weren't on one accord. But the Holy Ghost came in like a, anyway, I want to go there. I'm going to stay on this for a minute. Praise God. And all the people answered, amen, amen. With, they didn't just say it. They lifted up their hands, my God, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground, just from the hearing of the word of God. They honored God's word in spirit and in truth. What is truth? Thy word, O Lord, is truth. What is spirit? Who we really are? Because it's not the big S there. It's the little S. It's who you really are. It's from the inside to the outside. Out of my heart should flow forth the issues of my life. What is my life contained in? Word. We're to be like Jesus, walking, talking, breathing. Word. Because God honors his, he said, every word that proceeded out of his mouth will never come back void. And he gave the same privilege to us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? So what word do I want to use this morning? I want to use the word where I can glorify God. When I wake up early in the morning, yet will I praise thee, O God. Early in the morning will I glorify thee, O God. Why? Because my God is great and he's greatly to be praised. Glory to the mighty God that we serve. Praise the name of Jesus. They said, amen, amen, lifting up their hands, bowing down, placing their faces in worship towards God. They didn't sing a song. I didn't see it here. They heard the word and it moved their heart so much that they said, oh God, I gotta worship you. I gotta praise you. I can't help myself. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I can't help myself. This word cannot be contained and I'm gonna give it back to the one that's given it unto me. We were made to worship him. The word of God says that God perfected praise in babies. We were babies once. And in Christ, we're still babies. But in us, even before we even knew him, he had perfected some praise down in there. See, we came on the side of knowledge, of knowing God. Guess what? That praise that he perfected in us as babies, guess what? It's supposed to come up and come out. Because we were made, we were designed, we were formed, shaped, and fashioned to glorify him. That is our main purpose. That is our main purpose. It's to praise him. That's my main purpose. Everything else comes after that. He said you should love the Lord, who's God? Your God. With what? And we can stop at the word all. All. When I love on him, I'm worshiping him. My God, my God. When Jesus Christ was born, the word of God says that the angels in heaven started rejoicing and let's go there. Luke, the second chapter. I'm still watching time. Hallelujah. The second chapter of Luke, verse 11. And for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But the host of heaven started glorifying God at the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm going to go in Acts, 16th chapter of Acts, 25th verse. We see the scripture there where when Paul and Silas, we hear this all, we know about this one, prayed. We talk about getting loosed. Glory to God. Do you know that you can get loose through your praise and worship and your prayers, even your prayers, praise God? And I'm going to say, because she talked about prayer yesterday, at 16:22, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard it. And suddenly, there go another suddenly, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken because of the praises of God's people. And they were loosed from their bands, their shackles, their bondages. They were loosed because they prayed and they sang without reservation, without hindrance. They gave God glory in the midst of their trial. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you are unto us. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us worship and for giving us praise. Teach us, O God, to make it our lifestyle and not just an action on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whatever day of worship we have. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. We shall praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.